Let us all say amen. Indeed, I don't know about you. I want a mansion, a robe, and a crown. And I have such a friend that has promised that to me. It's to you as well, but he has promised me, because I've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ. If I live my life the way he requires of me, he has promised me. Revelation chapter 2 and roundabout verse number 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life that fadeth not away. I don't know about you. I have a friend, and that friend is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and round about verse number 1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I don't know about you. I got one reserved for me. Amen. You don't have to amen it, because I know, based upon what he says in his word, that if I do his will, he's promised me a crown that fadeth not away. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I hope and pray something can be said to cause you to think about your soul salvation. You've been invited by a friend or an enemy or whatever. But the whole purpose of you being here this morning is so we can give you word to encourage your heart. Church, we live in a very difficult time. And I don't know about you. I need a friend. And I found a friend that sticks closer than my brother. Matter of fact, the wisest man on the face of the earth says, a friend sticketh with a brother no matter what. Proverbs chapter 17 and round about verse number 17. Real quickly, I could go on for the next hour or so myself. But I don't want to do that, because I said I'm going to keep it to 20 minutes. I just want to see if y'all were still awake up here. But if you really want to know about a friendship, look at Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and round about verse number 12, words to his disciples and reminding them that if you really want to be my friend, there are some things you must do. First and foremost, and for all of us to be a friend of Jesus, you got to surrender your will to the will of the Father. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose his life. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sakes, Jesus says, you will find it. And he says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Church, I want to encourage those of us within the sound of my voice to stop and ask yourself a question, that in those wee hours when no one understands you, when no one's around, who do you call upon? Paul said in Romans, I will call upon the name of the Lord, and he will hear me. In my darkest hours, when Sister Harmon can't help me and the kids don't really care, I can call upon Abba Father, and he will hear me. Why? Because of the relationship I have with him. I've decided to surrender my will to his will, and whatever he requires me to do, I am willing to do. John chapter 15 and round about verse number 12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he will lay down his life for a friend. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse number 15, henceforth I call you not servant, for a servant know not what his Lord does, but I call you friend, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus had made some stuff known to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Jesus tells, Paul says, for if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, Paul said, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I know one day I got to give up the ghost. Oh, yes, yeah, so do you, in case you don't think about it. But one day, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what will he say? Will it be well done? Or will it be depart? It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. I want to encourage each and every one of us this morning, as we talk about friends, there's no greater friend than Jesus Christ. Because in the midst of your trials and tribulation, Jesus stands with open arms and says, come unto me. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Boy, I've had the burden of this world. Can I get an amen from somebody? And I tell you right now, this world will make you crazy. Amen. Young folk, if you think you got it together, just keep a living. Amen. When that grace, well, I cut all mine off last night. But when that grace starts to develop and those wrinkles start to come, you will find out that life might not be what you think it is. All of us have an appointment. And one thing about this appointment, you won't be late. Amen. You can't reschedule, and you will be on time. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. It is pointed unto man once to die, and after death comes the judgment. And I don't know about you. I want to stand before the judgment seat of God, and I want to be able to hear the words, well done. I don't want him to be like the, I don't want to be like the disciples. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. The Bible says, in that day, many will say, don't this be you? Lord, Lord, did we not in thy name? In thy name prophesy, in thy name cast out many devils. In thy name did many wonderful works. And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. Why? You did it not based upon the authority that I have given you. Church, I want to encourage us and to remind us, friend in Jesus Christ will help you to be the best friend you can be to somebody else. I want to show you an individual that loved an individual so much that she was willing to give up her very life because she was her friend. Some of y'all might know who I'm talking about, but if you don't, you want to talk about a love story. You want to talk about an individual that was willing to lay down her life for the life of someone else. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Starts with an R. See, I know y'all know your Bibles. Ruth had a love for her sister-in-law, that she was willing to die, to do whatever it took to keep that relationship together. And the Bible says in Ruth chapter 1 and round about verse number 15, the Bible says, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people, unto her God. Turn thou thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat. That word there means don't stop me. Don't stop me. I want you to listen to Ruth. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my... Well, you talk about a love story. You talk about a friend. Now, that's the kind of friend I want. I want somebody that is able to help me and to straighten me out when I mess up. Although I don't mess up because I'm the preacher. I figured I'd get a rise out of them then. But somewhere down the line, I want to show you that the true friend we have is in Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage those of us within the sound of our voice. If you have not obeyed from the heart of the gospel, I want to encourage you to stop and think about it. One day you're going to need Jesus. I'm reminded of what God told the prophet in 1 Chronicles chapter 7. He said, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves, repent of their sin, seek my face, you guess what? I'll hear them from heaven. And you know what I'll do? I'll heal their land. See, if we want God to help us, we need to be steadfast trying to seek and save the lost and trying to seek his face. A couple quick points. The message is yours. Can Jesus really call you his friend? In the midst of everything that goes on in life, who do we truly depend upon? I don't know about you, but I've learned to depend on Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he's the true friend. That's right. I've learned that Jesus is the best friend that I can ever have. Amen. Because my wife understands me so far, but I know somebody that understands me inside and out. And in my weak states, in my moments of despair, I can cry out, Abba, Father, and he hears me and he answers my prayers. But I'm learning true friends is an individual that understands something. See, I'm a friend of Jesus because I'm going to be faithful to God. But what does that mean? What does it mean to be faithful to God? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Ephesians chapter 1 and round about verse number 1. Listen to these words to encourage our hearts. A true friend. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. See, I'm learning if I'm going to be a true friend to Christ, I must be faithful to Him. What does that mean? That when it's time to do the will of the Father, no other business is important but His business. Amen. When the first day of the week rolls around, my mindset is to sit and commune with my Lord and Savior. Therefore, I come with the right attitude, the right frame of mind. Why? Because I am faithful to God Himself. Not only am I faithful to Him in my service to Him, I understand that in the midst of everything of Him, of me calling Him my friend, I must learn to reverence Him daily. Oh, yeah. I'm learning that when I can reverence the God of heaven every single day of my life, man, life takes on a whole new meaning. I know some of us get up in the morning, we're so busy trying to get to work and trying to do everything that we even forget to stop and thank the very man that woke you up. It wasn't Timex. It was Jehovah.
Yes.
And we need to take the time and reverence Him in our everyday life. And I'm learning in order to reverence Him, you got to take the time and understand who God truly is. In order to really reverence Him, it takes time, church. I'm learning that when we wake up first thing in the morning, before you get the stuff out your eyes and that little stuff that come out the side of your mouth, you need to stop and just say, thank you, Lord, that you woke me up and make me to have a great day today. Hebrews chapter 12 and round about verse number 28. The Bible says, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. I want you to get this now. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. You can't give God anything and think God is on your side. I just stopped by this morning. I guess you left this part for me. Oh, no problem. God expects the very best of you. You want the best from Him, don't you? Huh? You don't want the best? Stop breathing. And I guarantee you, you will ask Him to help you. If you want Him to give you the very best, can't you give Him the very best? He only asks two things of us, and we have a hard time doing that. Love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wherefore, we received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. I'm learning, church, that when I don't do things God's way, I open the door for that other fella. Amen. And you know what? The reason why it's difficult to serve God? Because you can't do this. Anybody, y'all can't see, you know, the fence, and you like to straddle it. Well, I'm a holy today and hell on wheels Monday through Saturday. No, not us. Y'all quiet. I must be in the right neighborhood. Not only must you have reverence for God, but see, the true child of God understand that friendship requires him to instruct God's people. Oh, yes, right. I have to tell you when you want to hear, and I have to tell you when you don't want to hear. Paul told Timothy, in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, the doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience, having their mind seared with a hot iron. You know, you like it when I can give you some kudos. But what happens when I have to give you a little dark stuff to remind us? See, I'm learning my job is to instruct God's people and to remind God's people that on this time side of life, if you're going to really call Him your friend, you got to understand something about your service to Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Who do you think he's talking about? He ain't talking about folk in the world. No, he's talking about you and I. Did you ever know you can oppose yourself? Anybody in here ever opposed himself? Every hand in here ought to raise. Because we've all opposed ourselves and fallen short of the glory of God. A servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and they may escape themselves out of the snares of the devil who have taken captive by him at his will. See, I'm learning that when I don't do it God's way, I open up the door for that other fella. God commanded Adam and Eve to do what? Eat anything. Just don't touch the one in the middle. And the day that you do, you shall surely die. And see, and Eve is just like us. I used to blame Eve. Well, no, Eve is just like us. Give me two ways out and I'll take the way that feels good. Amen, Walls. Not only must he instruct, he must learn how to encourage them to be steadfast. My job is to encourage you to stay steadfast, to stay unmovable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. Paul says, thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. What does that mean? Keep yourself in the word of God. The only way you're going to stay steadfast is you got to practice being steadfast. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of earth. Church, I'm learning that the more I can concentrate on Jesus Christ, the less problems I have in my everyday life. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm learning that when God is first and foremost in our lives, church, the world will not dictate to us, and the world will not have us in a mess that we're in. We live in the world, do we not? But the world has no hold on us. You know why? Because our citizenship is not here. Y'all looking at me funny. Philippians chapter 3 and round about verse number 20. Our citizenship is in heaven. I don't know about you. And Paul said, as long as I'm in this tent of this tabernacle, guess what? I moan and I groan because I want to be with the Lord. Y'all may not understand what I'm talking about, but keep a living. Somewhere down the line, you'll understand that a true friend of God is an individual that understands what God requires of him. See, we must learn to edify and build one another up. And you know what? God knows exactly how to do that. In Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 11, the Bible says he has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Therefore, he said, then that we therefore be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sliding of hand of cunningness, where men, that's right, I get excited about who I am. I don't know about you. You don't have to get excited. You know why? Because I got a friend that's closer than any brother that I've ever had. Amen. Because when I need him, he never turns me away. Amen. Always with open arms. Even when I mess up, all he requires me to do is fess up and he'll accept me back into fellowship with him. See, we must learn to encourage one another, and we encourage one another by the word of God. That's why it's so important that as children of God, we know the book, 2 Timothy 2:15. We ought to know that by heart. We ought to be studying and meditating. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, the psalmist says, he meditates day and night, because trials and tribulations is coming. You might be living good right now. You might not have a care in the world. But all I got to tell you is you just keep living. And somewhere down the line, God said every knee will. He didn't say might. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Son of God. Amen. To encourage one another. And you know something about when we encourage one another? Nothing stops us. That's right. You can't stop me. You can slow me down. You can put an obstacle in my way, but you can't stop me. You know why? I'm hell proof. Oh, don't look at me funny. That's what the Bible said. And the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Y'all not know it? Talking about the church. Ecclesia, the called out believer. That's me. And when you understand that, nothing can stop you. Satan nor sin has any dominion over you at all. That's right, church. I've learned that when I put my hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, you can't stop me. Romans chapter 8 and round about verse number 28. And we know that all things work for the good of them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Verse number 30 says, if God be
for us, who can be against us?
He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And then Paul goes on to say, who can lay a charge to God's elect? Is it not Christ? That's right. And I'm learning, church, if you want a true friend, hook up with Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you that when you hook up with him, nothing or no one will be able to hinder you in your Christian walk. Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart. Very interesting day, because we want to call Jesus our friend. And I want to encourage those of us who are members of the body of Christ. Call him your friend and do what he commands of each and every one of us. If there's ever been a time that you and I need to show forth of him that have called us out of darkness into the marvelous light, look at the world we live in. You can't even turn on the TV. Someone's hurt, someone's killed. This one, blah, 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 blah. Very depressing. Maybe that's why I watch Gunsmoke. Very depressing. But somewhere down the line, you and I, we make the difference in the world in which we live in. And I'm learning, it's got to first and foremost start in my household. And when I can make the difference in my household, guess what? I can make the difference within the neighborhood that I live in. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, you know that one. As for me, no, as for me, that's an individual thing. As for me, guess what? I'll get my household together. If not, ooh, that's kind of harsh, ain't it? Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And finally, can Jesus say this about each and every one of us? In James chapter 2 and round about verse number 23, the Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. And he was called a friend of God. Can God say that about you? I'm trying to make sure he said that about me, because I know the day is coming when I'm going to need him to stand before the judgment seat. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account to everything that's done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Paul says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. I want to persuade somebody this morning. Those of you that are visitors that may not be part of the body of Christ, you've heard the word of God this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe what I said? John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Many of the signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you got to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell your next, if you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he's the son of a living God. To those of us who are believers, that's an ongoing confession. We confess his name every single day of our life. Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. And Jesus said, I'll deny you before my Father. And all of that brings us unto salvation. You're not saved, contrary to popular belief, until you hit the watery grave. It's in the watery grave that God does a spiritual operation. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21, there's an antitype that saves us now. Namely, baptism, not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But as many of us that are baptized into Christ, one translation says, you clothe him. And I don't know about you. I know how to clothe myself. And so do you. And then he adds you to the body of Christ, which is the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. If you fall short of the glory of God as believers, the Bible says repent, get on the right track. It's just that simple. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.